Hey, good morning, Las Vegas. You're listening to the Solid Rock Gospel Broadcast, a programming effort of the Church at Las Vegas to proclaim that God is good, His grace is amazing, His love is available, and the power of the good news about Jesus is real and can and does change our lives.
Good morning, Las Vegas. This is John Racine with the Church at Las Vegas. Thanks for listening to the Solid Rock Gospel Broadcast. I hope that you're excited about today. I know I am, because this is the first day of our revival meeting that we are having with Tom Weaver from Rock Solid Ministries. We've been planning this for a month or so, and we're really excited to get this going. This morning it starts. We're going to be having a men's class at 9:30, and also Beth Weaver, Tom's wife, is going to be teaching the ladies next door, and so we're excited about that from 9:30 till about 10:15. And then our meeting is going to start at 10:30 tomorrow or morning. Excuse me, this morning. What am I saying? This morning at 10:30, it's going to begin. And we really hope that you'll come out and join us as we hear this good brother bring the word of God to us, to revive us, to get us back on track, if that's what necessary, to share the gospel with those who've never heard it. We're really excited about it. So 10:30 this morning, also 6 o'clock tonight. And I know the Super Bowl is going to be on, but who cares? I mean, really, how much more important are eternal things than who wins a football game? And so we hope you'll come out tonight at 6 o'clock, too. You can watch highlights of the Super Bowl later. Whoever is going to win or lose is going to do it, whether you watch it or not. So how's that for a plug? All right. Also, Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday night at 7 o'clock, we're going to be having meetings, and that's here at the Church at Las Vegas, 3388 South Decatur Boulevard, right in between Spring Mountain and Desert Inn. You can find out more about us on thechurchatlasvegas.com, thechurchatlasvegas.com. Now, normally I do that in conclusion, and I might again, but I just wanted to start off with that because I'm so excited about it. Really been praying a lot about that and hoping that it will just be a really great spiritual time. And I really want to encourage you to take advantage of this great spiritual opportunity. All right, let's open our Bibles to Ecclesiastes chapter 4 this morning. Ecclesiastes chapter 4. Remember the last time that we were in Ecclesiastes a couple weeks ago, we began talking about all the oppression that takes place under the sun. Solomon was looking at life and seeing, verse 1 says, all the oppression that was taking place under the sun. And we know that. We see it. We've probably been involved in it in some way, either toward us or we were the ones perpetrating it. But again, this is what's taking place under the sun. Just reading through the book of Revelation recently, we're going through that on Wednesday night here. But remember in chapter 5, the souls under the altar. The souls under the altar that says, Lord, how long? How long, O Lord, do we have to wait? In chapter 6, under the fifth seal, where it says, how long, sovereign Lord, holy and true, until you judge the inhabitants of the earth and avenge our blood? Okay, so there's a lot of oppression and persecution and everything else that happens under the sun. He says, I saw the tears of the oppressed. They have no comforter. Power was on the side of their oppressors, and they have no comforter. And I declared that the dead who had already died are happier than the living who are still alive. But better than both is one who has never been born, who has not seen the evil that is done under the sun. And sure, like we talked about last time, we could agree with that, and yet it's overkill, isn't it? We have been born. We have seen the evil that's done under the sun. But I want you to know that God is still God. And God sees all that's going on, and God will bring justice to the oppressed. God will take care of those things in his time. And that's why the Bible says, don't take revenge for yourselves. Leave room for God's wrath. God said, it's mine to avenge. I will repay. And so we need to be the kind of people that let him, and not harbor a bunch of bitter envy and jealousy and unforgiveness and grudges in our heart. So Solomon was dealing with oppression. Now in Ecclesiastes 4 and verse 4, he's going to start talking about toil again. Okay, this is something he comes back to a lot. What good does it do for a man to work hard and all these things? Remember back even to chapter 1, verse 3. What do people gain from all their labors at which they toil under the sun? And just that whole meaningless under the sun attitude. Well, here he goes again in Ecclesiastes 4 and verse 4. And I saw that all toil and all achievement spring from one person's envy of another. This too is meaningless, a chasing after the wind. So, you know, it's the idea here in the NIV is that all the toil and all the achievement really just spring from one person's envying another. Well, they did it, and so I want to do better, or I want to be more successful, or I want more money, or I want a bigger house, or I want a bigger name, or whatever it might be. That's the way the NIV says it. All toil and all achievement spring from one person's envy of another. The New Living Translation says, most people are motivated to success because they envy their neighbors. The New American Standard says, every labor and every skill which is done is the result of rivalry between a man and his neighbor. And the International Standard says, all kinds of work and achievement create envy in others. So it kind of puts it more back on the things than the people, but I think we understand what's being said here. And this, unfortunately, is the way a lot of people do live. And they are motivated by jealousy and by envy and thinking that somebody always has it better, that grass is always greener on the other side of the fence mentality. And they're not motivated to do things in a good way for God, but just because they're envious of another person. You know, that really is a meaningless chasing after the wind. In Proverbs chapter 14 and verse 30, Proverbs chapter 14 and verse 30, Solomon wrote this proverb. He says, a heart at peace gives life to the body, but envy rots the bones. Okay, I think we understand that. We know that when we're at peace, when we're not stressing out, when we're content, when we're not letting things gnaw at us, that, hey, it's a whole lot better for us spiritually and emotionally and physically and every other way. A heart at peace gives life to the body, but envy rots the bones. When you have envy and unforgiveness, jealousy, and you just want what everybody else has, and you're always going around, oh, it's not fair, and I want what they have, and why can't I have that? And wow, that just puts your whole body in a mess. You're going to end up with ulcers or a whole lot worse, okay? Remember back in Exodus chapter 20, when God had brought Israel out of Egypt and he brought them to Mount Sinai, and there he entered into covenant with them. He said, I'll be your God and you'll be my people if you'll keep these commandments, these things I'm giving you today. And one of those commandments, the 10th commandment, is you shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife, or his male or female servant, his ox or donkey, or anything that belongs to your neighbor. Okay, we're not supposed to be covetous. We're not supposed to want what somebody else has. We're not supposed to be envious of what someone else has. Now, sure, you drive down the street and you see somebody driving a brand new Lamborghini and you go, wow, nice car. Okay, there's nothing wrong with that. But if it's, well, how come he gets the car and I don't? You don't know why he has it and any of those things. And so why get all bent out of shape about it? You can appreciate the car. I love a good Lamborghini and lots of other different kinds of cars too. I like to go to different people's houses, and I've been in some pretty nice houses, and it's like, okay, this is a nice house. But if you're wishing that you had it and they didn't, or if you want their house and you become dissatisfied with what you have, that's all a chasing after the wind. It doesn't do you any good at all, except just to work yourself into a tizzy. I like what Romans, the 12th chapter, says. Romans chapter 12, starting in verse 15. It says, rejoice with those who rejoice and mourn with those who mourn. Okay, in other words, get along with people. And that's what verse 16 goes on to say. Romans 12, 16, live in harmony with one another. Who cares what people have? You know, it doesn't matter what kind of house they live in or car they drive in. In fact, it goes on to say there, do not be proud, but be willing to associate with people of low position. Don't be conceited. All right, so don't get all hoity-toity and think that you can't get along with somebody because of the street they live on or where their business is or whatever. It's like, come on. I mean, sure, we got to use some common sense, right, about getting ourselves into a big mess. But when it comes to people, big deal. If they're rich, they're poor, what color their skin is or whatever, we're all people, right? God gave life to all of us. And so why would we get envious about each other? Now, sure, there's ambition and we want to strive to be successful and everything else, but don't do it at the cost of envy and jealousy of someone else. If that's the only reason you're motivated to get ahead, man, just stop and rethink your life. All right, how much better it is to do it for the glory and honor of God, to do it for His approval, to do it for His blessing and to glorify His name. You know, I always like to work hard when I worked at UPS. And I like to do that because UPS was paying me, of course. But I also was interested while I was doing that to give glory to God. So if people said, you know, why do you work so hard? Why do you do the things that you do? So that I could tell them, hey, it's because God has given me extra purpose and a desire to please Him in my life. And so I hope that as we go back to Ecclesiastes chapter 4, that you're not that kind of a person. That when you toil, you're toiling for yourself to get ahead and to provide for your family and to provide things for others, and that your toil and achievement don't just spring from your envy of someone else. Okay? Hey, let's listen to our first song this morning. This is a song by Casting Crowns called The American Dream. And, you know, it's a great thing to be able to get ahead in life, but don't pursue it at the expense of your family or your relationship with God or your relationship with other people. Do it in a right way. Do it in an honorable way. Do it with integrity, and then it won't be a meaningless chasing after the wind. Let's listen to our first song this morning.
All work, no play, may have made Jack a dull boy. But all work, no guy has left Jack with a lost soul. But he's moving on full steam. He's chasing the American dream. He's gonna give his family a finer thing. Not this time, son. No time to waste. Maybe tomorrow we'll have time to play. And then he slips into his new BMW and drops farther and farther and farther away. 'Cause he works all day and tries to sleep at night. He says things will get better. He works and he builds with his own two hands, and he pours all he has. this kingdom stand. Well, this American dream is beginning to seem more and more like a nightmare with every passing day. Daddy, can you come to my game? Oh, baby, please don't work late. Another wasted weekend and they are slipping away. 'Cause he works all day and lies awake at night. He tells them things will get better, just take a little more time. So he works and he builds with his own two hands, and he pours all he has in a castle made with sand. But the wind and the rain are coming crashing in. Time will tell just how long this kingdom stays. This kingdom stays. Say whoever dies with the most toys wins, but if it loses its soul, what has it gained in the end? I take a shack on a rock over a castle in the sand. Now it works all day and cries alone at night. It's not getting any better, looks like it's running out of time. 'Cause he
all right, we're back this morning, and I hope that you listen carefully to that song and that you won't be guilty of toiling and competing and excessively working. I had a man tell me the other day, I'm a workaholic. Well, wow, how's that better than being an alcoholic or any other kind of a holic? All right, it's not a good thing. You ruin relationships with your wife, with your children, with everything else. Sure, we need to work. We need to labor. We need to provide. We need to work hard with our hands. And yet at the same time, it should be for the right reasons, like we've already talked about. So now he's going to go on and give us the opposite of that. Verse 5, fools fold their hands and ruin themselves. Okay, so if excessive work and that spirit of envy and competitiveness is not the answer, well, then certainly being lazy and unmotivated isn't the right answer either. And yet, guess what? Solomon saw both. There's people that are workaholics. There's people that are just lazy, good for nothing, worthless as far as it comes to doing something. Fools fold their hands and ruin themselves. Let's go over to Proverbs chapter 24, Proverbs chapter 24 and verse 30. Here's what, again, Solomon says about the sluggard or the lazy fool, if you would. He says, Proverbs 24, 30, I went past the field of a sluggard, past the vineyard of someone who has no sense. Thorns had come up everywhere. The ground was covered with weeds and the stone wall was in ruins. I applied my heart to what I observed, and I learned a lesson from what I saw. A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest, and poverty will come on you like a thief, and scarcity like an armed man. Wow, that's some powerful stuff there. Proverbs chapter 22 and verse 13. Proverbs 22 and verse 13. The sluggard said, there's a lion outside. I'll be killed in the public square. Well, that's what sluggards and lazy people do. Make excuses. Oh, I can't go outside. There's a lion. Really? Come on. Quit making excuses. Quit making excuses to be lazy. And in fact, in Proverbs 21, starting in verse 25, here's something really interesting. Sometimes it's the sluggard or the lazy person that's the most envious. They're the ones that are always craving for what everybody else has, but they don't do anything about it. Look at verse 25. The craving of the sluggard will be the death of him because his hands refuse to work. All day long he craves for more, but the righteous give without sparing. Okay, so always complaining, always griping, always craving, but he doesn't want to do anything about it. And he refuses to work with his own hands to provide for himself. Just wants a handout. Just somebody wants to, you know, somebody take care of me. Just give me everything I want. Well, guess what? It might work for a while, but ultimately you're going to ruin yourself and frankly a lot of other people with you. So we're not called to be toilers excessively, and yet we're also not to be lazy either. Here, back in Ecclesiastes 4 and verse 6, here's the balance. Better one handful with tranquility than two handfuls with toil and a chasing after the wind. I like that. I like the balance there in that verse, that better one handful with tranquility. There's lots of Proverbs that talk about, you know, it's far better to have little than to be in the house with lots of strife and fighting and arguing going on. It's far better to have peace in your home than a wife who's constantly nagging and a husband that's lazy and not do anything. It's really bad. And so better one handful with tranquility, okay, than two handfuls with toil. Again, it's just a chasing after the wind. I like Proverbs chapter 30, where it talks about that Lord, you know, I want to be satisfied. I want to make sure that I don't have too much poverty. In verse 8, he says, keep falsehood and lies far from me. Proverbs 30, verse 8, keep falsehood and lies far from me. Give me neither poverty nor riches, but give me only my daily bread. Okay, and so, you know, it's a good balance to not be overly ambitious and toiling and working, but not to be lazy and always be wanting things, but never able to have them. I think you see the point. I think you understand this. And here again, this is what we want to go back to. In Christ, we can be satisfied. In Christ Jesus, we can have that peace that passes all understanding. And so let's listen to this last song about God's amazing grace, how even in spite of everything that goes on under the sun, that we can still have life and life abundantly and enjoy it without all of the catches and all of the meaningless and without all the problems. Let's listen to this song, Amazing Grace. Amazing Grace.
King above all kings.
Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Worthy is the King who conquered the grave. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Worthy is the King who conquered the grave. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Worthy is the King who conquered the grave. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Worthy, worthy, worthy. Oh, this is amazing grace.
I hope you enjoyed that song by Phil Wickham, This is Amazing Grace. And I want you to know that God is an amazing God of grace. And God makes all of this life under the sun worthwhile, and especially because we have so much to look forward to. Hey, again, we're the Church at Las Vegas. Thanks so much for listening today. We're going to continue in the book of Ecclesiastes next week, and I hope you are enjoying seeing the contrast between life under the sun and life according to the wisdom and the will of God. I want to encourage you one more time before we leave. Come on out for our revival meeting this week. It starts this morning at 10:30 and tonight at 6 o'clock. Also Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday nights at 7 o'clock. Come on out and be refreshed and revive your soul and walk with the Lord. Tom Weaver's going to be here. We're excited about that. We're the Church at Las Vegas. We meet at 3388 South Decatur Boulevard, right in between Spring Mountain and Desert Inn. Come and join us, please, especially this week. And find us out on the web at thechurchatlasvegas.com, thechurchatlasvegas.com. And until next time we get together again, Lord willing, keep standing on the solid rock, the rock that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. God bless.